Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, where we teach those who teach others. So grab your Bibles, pens, and notebooks as we look at the passage Luke 8, 16 to 25, at some of the deep teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. But before we do that, let's pray. Father in heaven, you are the God of light. You are the God of truth. Impart truth to our souls today. Impart truth to our mind, our heart, our flesh. Help us to understand your word deeply. Open our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears, that we may walk in grace. In Jesus' name, amen. And you know, God opens to us things that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the mind of man. God has revealed those things to us through the Holy Spirit. And we want God to reveal things out of his words today that you've never understood before, that no one's ever taught you before, but God will teach you as you listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at today's passage, Luke chapter 8, verses 16 to 25. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has, will be taken away. Then his mother and brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd, and he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Verse 22. One day he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they set out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this, that it commands even winds and water, and they obey him?" So that last thing, we see the tremendous authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ was not just a human being filled with the Holy Spirit, as some extreme people are claiming these days. No, he was God in human flesh, the fullness of deity in bodily form, Colossians 2:9. Jesus is to be bowed down to. He is to be respected. We are not like Jesus in power, and we cannot claim the same powers as Jesus Christ. No one, since time immemorial, has done the things that Jesus has done. And it's a misinterpretation of John 12:14 that we will do greater works, as in greater miracles and greater numbers, than the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly we can see healings. Certainly we can see great things happen. And the church as a whole body of billions of people around the world, does great works in Jesus' name. But we can't expect that we as ordinary Christians can go out and speak to the winds and wave and ask them to be calm. And there's the story in England of an ancient English king, King Canute. I think he was way back in the Middle Ages somewhere. And he was a very popular king. And people were saying, "King Canute is God. King Canute is God." And he says, "No, I'm not," because he was a godly man. And in order to disprove that he was God, he went down to the sea. And as the tide was coming in, and he shouted, "Tide, go out, tide, go out." But of course, it just kept on coming in. And so he says, "See, I ordered the tide to go out when it was coming in. It didn't obey me at all. I am not God. And that was a wise and humble thing for King Canute to do, though that story's often been told the other way around, as if he was arrogant. No, he was trying to prove that he was not God. And we are not God, and we do not have the powers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm saying this because there's a false teaching going around that we can expect to do things like speaking to the winds and the waves. That should be an ordinary part of the Christian life. That is very boastful thinking. We are to humble ourselves before the Lord Jesus Christ, and if the Lord allows us to perform miracles, well and good. I do believe in miracles. I do believe in healing. I do believe in the casting out of demons. But I think we need to understand that we're not operating in the same level of authority as Jesus. Jesus is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He gives the commandments. He returns in glory, not us. We are simply his humble servants doing as we ought. But let's go back to the first part of this, the bit about the lighting a lamp and not putting it in a jar or put it under a bed or under a bushel. That's a large container. We don't put our light away. We don't hide our light. What is the light? The light is the light of your spirit in contact with the eternal life of God. You have a spirit. The spirit is the lamp of the soul. The lamp is the spirit inside you, the Holy Ghost inside you. And when the Holy Ghost is on fire, when the Holy Ghost has illumined your being with God's grace and God's power, you don't put it under a bushel. You don't go and hide it under the bed. You take what the Holy Ghost is doing in your life and you tell the world. You shine radiant with the powers of God because that's God's work within you. He has set you on fire. He's set you alight. He's given you spiritual revelation so that you can go out and share the gospel with other people. So you can share the gospel house to house, village to village, or even around the world. And people's lives can be set ablaze by the revelation that God has given you through the scriptures and through the Holy Spirit in you, who helps you to interpret those scriptures. So God wants you to be full of his light, full of his grace, full of his Holy Spirit. And it says here, so that those who enter may see the light. God wants many, many people to see the light. And you are God's lamp. You are the light of the world. God wants people to see the light of God through you, in your face, in your actions, and in your good works. Because God says in the Sermon on the Mount that people will behold the good works of Christians and glorify God. That is the thing that God wants you to do. He wants your life to be full of good works so that you will be a light set on a high place, a city set on a hill, a community full of good works that transforms the nation that you're part of. So your church, your city, your area, when it's set on fire for God, will transform the nation that you are belonging to and make that part of your vision of your ministry to be a light on a stand, to be a city set on a hill. He then goes on to say, for nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be made known and come to light. There are many hidden things in life. There are things in the gospel that seem to be hidden, things in the Bible, things of prophecy. But there are many things in life, even the dark things of the devil that we really don't want to expose. They're so ugly and so terrible. But everything is going to be made manifest. Everything is going to come to light. The devil cannot hide everything away forever and ever. God is going to bring things to light bit by bit, day by day, going to bring light to his church, light to you, light to your family. And so our efforts to conceal things are futile. They will go nowhere. We need to understand that God is King of Kings, he's Lord of Lords, and he's bringing truth forth all the time. He's bringing light out of the darkness. He's bringing truth to your life. He's bringing truth to my life. And he's doing it so we can live in truth and justice and mercy. And God is increasing knowledge in the earth, according to Daniel, and he's bringing things to light all the time. So the things that are whispered in the house will be shouted from the rooftops. And as we're approaching the end times, the things being made manifest are more and more and more. And we can see that happening. And we can see God's truth marching on. And then it says something very... Jesus gives us a big warning. He says, take care then how you hear, for to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. So as you're listening to this broadcast or to your pastor on Sunday or reading the Bible, you have to be very careful how you listen to spiritual truth. God's bringing more and more spiritual truth into the world. God wants us to hear the spiritual truth that he's bringing out, and he wants you to listen carefully. He wants you to be able to discern the true from the false, because there are many liars gone out into the world, many antichrists gone out into the world, and we find that in 1 John chapter 4. There are many people trying to darken the truth of God, but you must listen carefully. You must not just listen to what you like, but you must listen with your spirit. You must listen with your inner man or inner woman to understand the truth of God's word and hold tight to it deeply. Because if you're spiritually careless, if you don't listen deeply to God's word, even the little that you think you have will be taken away. There are those people who are very careless with God's word, who are very careless about listening to God, who just make up stuff as they go along. And they get further and further deceived. They get further and further into spiritual darkness. You don't want that. You want to live a life that's full of the joy of the Lord. You want to live life in the fullness of the power of the Holy Ghost. You want to be among the people that are spiritually wise in the things of God. So be careful how you listen. Open your Bible with reverence every day and listen to the Word of God. Listen carefully to those who instruct you in the Lord and watch their manner of life to make sure that they're a true teacher, not a false teacher. Write it down, think about it, cherish these things in your heart, just like Mary did and all the Bereans did and the people who follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. Take care of these things and nurture the Word of God in your life. Be a Berean, be a real Bible student. And if you do, if you are someone who studies, to you, more will be given. If you're keen on knowing things about God, then God will reveal more to you. Okay, the next little passage here. Then his mother and brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to seek you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Now, one thing about Jesus is no one could boss Jesus around. Every time he was tried to be bossed around, like his mother tried to boss him around at the wedding at Cana, he said, "You know, what have you got to do with this?" and things like that. He's quite abrupt. He doesn't let himself be pushed around by anyone or even by family allegiances and ties. Why? Because Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the boss. He's not going to take being bossed around by anyone, and this is his way of pushing that away. So his mother and his brothers are trying to see him, and he says, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Now, in Hebrews chapter 2, it tells us that Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren. He's not ashamed to call us his brothers and his sisters, because he has come to do the will of God, and those that do the will of God with him are his brothers and sisters. And he has come to undo the works of the devil and to set us free to be the brothers and the sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are part of a heavenly family. Those who hear the word of God and do it, not just those people who turn up at church or those people who speak loudly about Christian things, but those who are obedient to the Heavenly Father, those who go and do the Father's will. Remember the parable about the two brothers. The father says, "Go out into the paddock and do some work." And the first brother says, "No, I won't." But he turns around and actually goes out and does it. The second brother says, "Oh, yes, I'll do it." But he stays home and does nothing. He doesn't complete his word. So who's the one that does the will of the Father? The one that gets out initially saying, "No, I won't," but actually does it. We have to actually obey God. God wants us to be obedient to the word of God, to hear the word of God, and to demonstrate the word of God in your life and mine. And again, this pushes us a little bit in the area of Mary worship. Some people have statues of Mary, pray to Mary, and Jesus says his mother and his brothers are not his biological family, but his spiritual family. Now, Mary is very important. She's the most blessed among women, important part of the life of Jesus. But we don't pray to Mary. And Jesus doesn't give Mary any special place to boss him around. It's very clear in the Gospel of Luke that this is not the case. And Luke was very close to Mary. And he honored her. And I think she even lived with him for a point. But she also lived with the Apostle John. But no one in the New Testament prays to Mary, and no one considers Mary able to boss Jesus around because of the family relationship. That's something that came up later, and it's simply not true. So while we honor Mary, we do not pray to Mary, and we do not consider the brothers of Jesus as particularly special. And there's a whole thing about that I don't have time to go into today, about the brothers of Jesus and their place in the gospel. Now in verse 22, we have this thing about the storm, and let's read it. One day he, Jesus, got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they set out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he awoke, and he rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even winds and water, and they obey him?" Now, this tells us a lot of things are wrapped up in this true story. It's not just a story. It actually happened. This story in the Gospels about Jesus. And we will unpack as much as we can in the few minutes remaining in this broadcast. Firstly, that Jesus enables us or tells us to get into situations where he knows we're going to face danger, stress, and turmoil, and he expects us to use our faith to deal with those circumstances. So he knew when he went asleep in the boat, he knew the disciples were going to face the storm. He was testing them, and he wanted to see them handle the storm in some way, or at least to trust him through the storm. If Jesus is here, it's going to be okay. That's what the conclusion that they wanted him to come to. Instead, in the middle of the storm, when the winds and the wave were overcoming them and the boat was sinking, they turned around and said, "Jesus, solve this for us. Master, Master, we are perishing." And as pastors, we get this all the time. People of little faith come and say to us, "Pastor, Pastor, pray for me." And we wish that they would pray for themselves or get some friends together and pray. Instead, it's, "Pastor, pray for me again. Pastor, pray for me again," every Sunday. Well, people should be learning to pray for themselves. They should be learning to exercise their own faith. And he wanted the disciples to exercise their own faith, to do their own praying, and to get themselves through the storm without calling on him yet again. He was asleep in the stern of the boat. Now, I'm amazed at Jesus' ability to sleep. He seems to be able to sleep through everything because he was trusting in his heavenly Father. I've been sailing a fair bit. I cannot imagine sleeping through a storm like that. And so he's sleeping through the storm. And sometimes we think that Jesus is sleeping through the storm in our life. We want him actively involved. We want him coming into our life and solving all our problems with a big magic wand while we sit back and do nothing. Jesus doesn't want that at all. He wants us to grow up into mature disciples who can exercise our faith, who can trust Jesus and deal with the problems of life on our own through the power that God has delegated to us. And so the faith of Jesus is a faith that commands things into action. And he talks to us, and later on in Luke 17, he says, "If you have faith, even as a mustard seed, you would speak to this mulberry tree and say, be uprooted and cast into the sea, and it would happen." So Jesus has a faith that commands things, and in this case, he commands the winds and the waves. And he wants us to be able to command certain situations in our life according to the authority that he has given us. He wants us to be able to take authority, to take command over demons, over diseases, as he sees when he sends his disciples out. He gave them authority to command the demons and diseases, and they had that authority, and they used that authority. This is a thing that God does for us. He delegates authority to us so that we can command things into action through the exercise of faith and through the exercise of spiritual power. And we are to deal with the situations by speaking to them in the name of Jesus and commanding that situation to change. And so you can speak to a mountain of problems and say, "Mountain of problems, be moved in the name of Jesus." I'm not talking about a physical mountain, but it's talking about Zechariah 4, it says, speak to the mountains with shouts of grace, grace to the topmost stone. This mountain will be moved, not by might, but by not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And when we speak to the mountain of problems, the mountain is moved, not by might, not by power, but by the spirit of God operating through us when we're born again, Bible-believing Christians operating in authority. And we operate in our proper authority. In this case, it was the authority of the disciples, the apostles. They would operate in their authority to deal with this storm, to deal with this problem. And so we're to arrive at a point of spiritual maturity where we are no longer tossed here and there by our own anxieties. And God wants us to move beyond our anxieties, beyond our powerlessness to deal with things. And we saw last session, we saw about the third soil Christian who are choked by the cares of this world. An unproductive Christian goes from anxiety to anxiety. Anxiety paralyzes us, and it is the opposite of faith. And here Jesus saw the disciples filled with anxiety, and he was disturbed. He didn't think he'd got through to them. He says, where is your faith? Stop dwelling in anxiety. Start dwelling in spiritual power. Start dwelling in the power and authority of God. Start being someone who is effective and not ineffective in the middle of life. Now, this storm comes up just before they go to the Gadarenes, which we'll see in the next broadcast, where he meets the demon-possessed man Legion. So this storm seems to have been whipped up. Legion knew Jesus and the disciples were going across to the land of Gadara, and this was a spiritual attack whipped up by the demonic realms over there on the other side of the lake to prevent Jesus coming and dealing with the demonically possessed man who was a stronghold in that area, who dominated the area so much that when the demons were cast out, the villagers said to Jesus, leave, get out of here, because they'd been subjected to those spirits for so long that they had gone into a negative thinking pattern. And so when even Jesus casts those demons out, they don't welcome him, they rush him away, because the demonic had been so part of that land for so long. And so here we find it's a massive spiritual attack against the boat coming from the demons over there in Gadara. And when a spiritual attack comes on us, we should speak to it with authority. We should be able to rebuke the devil and say, this demonic attack is just the Satan bothering us again, and you rebuke the devil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, not by your own authority. You say, Father in heaven, rebuke these demons. Get them out of my life. Get these troubles gone out of my life. And you need to do that, and you need to do that with heavenly authority, because God has placed you in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. You are in Christ, and you are in Christ. You're seated in the heavenly realms with him, and God has given you a measure of spiritual authority. Now, as I said, opening up this broadcast, you're not Jesus, right? You don't exercise the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. You worship Jesus, you bless Jesus, you bow down before Jesus. You don't operate in that kind of power at all, and the people that are teaching that kind of thing are wrong. But we do operate in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We do operate out of a certain level of power that God has given us. And when God gives you a challenge in life, he expects you to grow up and to meet it with the power of the gospel, with the power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're anxious. They're saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. And notice how they address Jesus, not as a friend or a buddy, but as Master, as Lord. And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased. So when Jesus rebukes something, it stops completely. The wind and the waves became calm. And when Jesus deals with the storm of your life at your request, this, here they are, even though they hadn't exercised faith, even though they were messing up a little bit, he has mercy on them, and he rebukes the winds and the waves, and things become calm. So when you're going through a storm in your life, don't try and tackle it on your own. They'd tried that. They were rowing their boat, and they were experienced fishermen. They knew how to do it, but the situation had overwhelmed them. And they turned to the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of their overwhelming situation, and he had mercy on them, and he calmed the winds and their waves, and then told them to grow up and have more faith. But The situations that come to us, we are often overwhelmed. I am frequently overwhelmed in the ministry, and that's just part of the complexity of working in an area where there's constant spiritual attacks and this and that and the other. It's an overwhelming thing. But the storms and winds and waves coming against us, in this case from a demonic source, they were stopped by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he had mercy on the disciples, and Jesus will have mercy upon you. And you can cry out to him to stop the winds and the waves in your life. And he will do that, and the boat will suddenly be at the other side. And he commands the winds and the water, and they obey him. Jesus is the creator in human form. He is the incarnation of God in bodily form. All things were made by him and through him and for him, and through him all things were made. And he upholds the creation by the word of his power. So it's completely possible for Jesus to command the winds and the waves and the water, and they will obey him. The elements obey their creator, and Jesus is the creator of the winds and the waves, and he can tell them to be calm. And so we find here that there is a rebellious side to creation. The devil's got hold of a little bit of creation. He's throwing it at the disciples and at Jesus, trying to drown them as they are heading out there to confront Legion. This seems overwhelming circumstance is just before the breakthrough. Jesus is going to do mighty ministry the next day, and so the devil throws all these winds and waves at him, and Jesus subdues them. If you go out in ministry and you're out to do a crusade, and before you do the crusade, there's so many problems, so many difficulties, so much stress, then you might be right next to the breakthrough. And Jesus will, at the end of it all, command the winds and the wave. Things will become calm. You'll get your crusade done. You'll get your ministry done. And there will be victory in the name of Jesus. Jesus will give you victory over those overwhelming circumstances as you go to take on territory for Jesus Christ. And you're going into new territory. You're going out against new spiritual opponents. They certainly will come against you, but God will give you victory. I remember when I was a very new Christian, we were doing a tent crusade in a part of Australia, and some local hooligans came and threw rocks, and they went through the roof of the tent, and they scared the team that I was part of. And I spent all night, this happened at night, I spent all night persuading them to go on with the crusade. They went on with the crusade, and quite a few people were saved. And that was the devil's attack. That was the winds and the waves before the spiritual breakthrough. And we need to have courage to continue. We need to have faith to press in to the mission and purposes of God. So that's a fascinating passage. There's a lot in it, a lot we can dig out of that. And Jesus is our mighty Savior and Lord, and his commands make the way for us to do powerful ministry. This is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.